thanks to Steve from Too Much Scrolling for sending that along. And even if it didn't follow sequentially the laws of cause and effect, I'll give him credit for you watching Ash vs. Evil 10.
Well, I mean, his impulse was certainly dead on.
Scrolling for November 29th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Boy, we got through Thursday, which was Thanksgiving, and Friday was Black Friday, and Monday was Cyberman Monday. No, it's just called Cyber Monday, right? They don't actually say Cyberman Monday in this country.
That's right, and you survived the Turkey Testicle Festival.
Oh, man, my birthday. It's just been a long weekend, man.
It's been exciting.
Like, four-day long weekend, staying up till midnight, waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm exhausted.
Well, the holiday season is in full swing right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're ready now. It's not December 1st for another couple of days. It's still November, but close enough.
The day after Thanksgiving, it's just they just ratchet you and they say, go.
Just throw that switch. That's it. Did you find any good deals on Black Friday?
I went grocery shopping.
Grocery shopping, good.
So my kids left at, like, I don't know.
Little discount kale.
Oh, that's right. They left really, really early, and they stayed out really, really late. I think they may have got an hour of sleep.
Jeez.
They got back at 3 p.m. on Friday.
Wow.
So they had been out for 15 hours. I think young kids, particularly teenagers, let me make sure, they just want to be part of that experience. Yep. The jacked up experience. There's not really anything they're looking for. Maybe there's a certain sale or anything.
Yep.
But they got their stuff at, I think, Victoria's Secret or Pink or something.
Very good. I get to be a part of society this week.
Did you go out?
I did go out a little bit for Black Friday, but this week I'm going to go see Hamilton in Chicago.
You are?
I have tickets. My wife bought me tickets. That was my big birthday present for the year, was I'm going to go see Hamilton this week.
How wonderful. Is she going to go see it with you?
Yeah, she's coming with, which is even better. She got two tickets, and we are going to see Hamilton. I'll report back next week whether it's as good as everybody says it is.
Well, I know it is.
I bet you it is.
I bet it is. And have you been listening to the Hamilton musical?
I have been listening to the soundtrack on Amazon Prime, and it's a great piece of music. I'm looking forward to a great performance.
I probably still listen to it maybe once a week.
Wow. Yeah. That really says something.
Well, it's very good, and the other part is it takes a long time to really get that story down, and he's very, very good at putting together the story. There's a lot going on
there. I look forward to it, man. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got to see Andron. This is it was released this year.
Well, it must have been showing at festivals back in 2015. Okay. It was released this summer, back in June or July, and of course it was everything we wanted it to be.
It's a 21st century movie. It's all about how the world is coming to an end, and a certain group of people need to find their way through a maze of hunger.
It's something. This was a, there's a world of slaves and there's a world of regular people.
Okay.
It's a game that you do not know that you're hooked into.
And whether or not you're hungry or not.
Well, the story actually is, if you're a slave, you can hook up to one of the players.
Ah.
If your player dies, you die with it. So you're on a VR system. And you would pass away with it.
Wow.
Alec Baldwin plays the game master.
Of course he does.
He becomes, it's kind of like the Fantastic Four's puppet master, if you ever read that comic. He is the puppet master of this. Danny Glover is the president of this, who's giving all the pressure on Alec Baldwin. And of course, no one ever wins this game. That's the whole point, is to kind of get rid of a whole group of the population so that they don't starve to death.
Right.
This is sort of a post-apocalyptic world, mm-hmm. that you find out.
One of those.
This movie is a mixture of The Hunger Games, The Maze Runner, and it is awful. on a scale to 1 to 100, with 100 being excellent, this is probably a 30.
Okay.
In fact, maybe it's worth riffing. But
oh, there you go.
But it is certainly not the best of its genre.
Alec Baldwin, I tell you, was great in Beetlejuice, and that was a long time ago.
Well, anyway, the movie came out. I watched it. It sat. Netflix delivered it to me, and it sat on my table. By disc, by the way.
Yeah, it sat on my plastic disc from Netflix.
From for almost a month, it sat there. Yeah. I did return it, and they did send me my next one.
That's good.
So what can I say?
You did actually get to see a good movie. This was Giant from 1956. One of those classics.
Had Elizabeth Taylor in it, Rock Hudson, and James Dean.
There you go. That's a pretty good trifecta right there.
And this takes place, well, it starts out with, it moves quickly, really, really quickly, where Rock Hudson's character heads off to Maryland. Heads to Maryland to buy this horse. And there he meets Elizabeth Taylor's character. And they said, well, how many acres do you own out there? And I can't remember. His response was like 5,000 or 50,000, some incredible huge amount. Number. And immediately Elizabeth Taylor's character gets married. And they're off to Texas, where they move from this lush green land from Maryland to this, basically it's just sand.
Dust bowl.
Lots of sand. Lots of sand.
I hate sand.
A lot of people hate sand.
I love you.
James Dean character eventually inherits a little piece of sand land. And where Rock Hudson's character drives the cattle and owns lots of the cows that they would eventually march up to Chicago. James Dean's character ends up striking oil. Mm-hmm. So we have a mixture of old money and this new money coming this way. And I think the real story here is basically how poorly the Mexican immigrants, mm-hmm. People of Mexican descent, are treated. They very much, if you look at it, very similar to how blacks were treated in the South, or how we would say during this period of time.
Yeah, once again, this is 1956, so right there in the civil rights movement.
Yeah, so this was, the Mexicans were not treated real well, or, you know, the Mexican people of descent were not treated real well. And that was Elizabeth Taylor's strong point. Elizabeth Taylor's son eventually marries a Mexican person, and they experienced the racism there too. Mm-hmm. And the idea was we could grow from it. This was a long, long movie. I want to say this was 3.5 hours long.
Wow, an epic.
I found it on Turner Classic Movies, on basically where you could go and you could movies on demand. That's where I ended up watching it. And I was just kind of testing out the service once again this week. And it was a classic I'd never watched. I would recommend it in the sense that it's a big, long classic. My understanding is we would go to the theater back at that time and probably have an intermission or two to go get some popcorn or something. Mm-hmm. But very nice. You have to understand it's a long movie.
If you want a short movie that really makes me happy, I got to watch, I got another copy of Better Off Dead.
Another copy.
This is probably the third or fourth time I've bought a copy of Better Off Dead. This is from 1985. This is John Cusack, teenage angst movie, you know, very much in that John Hughes sort of genre, but this is a little more slapstick, a little more silly. If you don't know Better Off Dead...
I've never watched this film.
Oh, I love this movie. We quote this one around this house all the time, especially with the French teacher.
Steve's wife is a French teacher.
That's right. So we talk about
the French language. The French language.
You know, Christmas is one of the things that we say all the time from this movie. There's so many fun little snippets. It's silly.
What's it about? It's about basically a student coming over from France?
Yes, there's two stories going on. The main story, John Cusack is breaking up with his girlfriend. His girlfriend breaks up with him, and he is just distraught, and he thinks he's better off dead. That's where the theme comes in. But across the street from John Cusack, this French exchange student comes over. And she claims to not speak any English, and the house that she's in, they say they don't speak French, so they don't know how to communicate. It turns out she knows knows how to speak English. She wouldn't come over as an exchange student without speaking English. And there's a love affair that then goes between John Cusack and the French exchange student.
The French know their language of love.
That's right. That is one of the many, many lines of this movie that we say all the time. Speaking of which, if you are looking for something to do, Turkey Day's over. The Turkey Day Marathon on Thanksgiving was great, but Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie from 1996, is available on Crackle right now.
Sony's Crackle. So you can go and you can watch that film. And I've never watched this. What is it about?
This is... They riff on the movie This Island Earth from 1955, which is one of those classic sci-fi, really cheesy.
Kind of like Giant, but different.
Oh, very different. That cheesy sci-fi from the 50s, as opposed to the epic battle for supremacy that Giant is. This one is so silly. It's so much fun. This is really the first Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie, and it's the first riff that I ever saw from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
So you went to the theater and watched this.
Movie theater.
And based on your experience there and love of it, you discovered the television show.
The whole rest of the catalog, and I've been a huge fan ever since. So my friend Steve, who invited me to go to the movies for this, who knew that this was right up my alley, you were right.
But you got to see a new program that's out.
There are actually new programs. I don't just watch stuff from the 80s.
But you had to seek this one out.
This one I found out about somehow. I'm not even sure how. It's called Mark Hamill's Pop Culture Quest. It's available on Comic-Con HQ, which is the Comic-Con channel. You can subscribe to $9.99 a month and get all sorts of fun Comic-Con panels and little shows like this. Mark Hamill...
Some of us know him from... I don't even know. Maybe in a movie that maybe you watched in the past.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
He was Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. But Mark Hamill, forget about Luke Skywalker
Luke
for
Star
a minute.
Killer.
That's right. Mark Hamill is a nice guy. He's an amazing person, and he is a huge geek. He loves this stuff as much as I do, as much as all of the people that I hang out with do.
And he basically goes into people's collections,
uh-huh.
which they have dedicated basements, buildings.
He went to the DC offices and looked at all the collection of all the DC material that
really?
They have. Yeah. This is a really fun show. I would call it a reality show. It's mm-hmm. just a guy who's
talking to a puppet.
Yeah, there is a puppet. There is a puppet. They needed somebody to talk to Mark Hamill and to be on that same excited, exuberant level as he is, and they couldn't find a human apparently to do this, so they got a puppet.
A bunny.
It's an adorable little bunny.
It's a bunny.
And he's, you know, a childish character who Mark Hamill is explaining these things to. A foil.
Mansplaining things. He's mansplaining.
You need that. I've seen two episodes. They're both available for free right now on YouTube. I haven't given my $9.99 to Comic-Con HQ, but if they keep having things like this mm-hmm. that are made for me, I might have to give them $9.99.
You got to see another thing on Amazon Prime this
week. On Amazon Prime, they have my $9.99, and the Grand Tour premiered last week. This is the...
You're not paying for Prime monthly, are you?
No, I'm not paying for
Prime. But you pay for it on a yearly basis.
Right. And okay. It comes out to $8 a month instead of $9 a
okay.
month.
Okay. That's the way I buy it.
Absolutely.
But the Grand Tour.
Yes.
Which is basically the new version of Top Gear.
Right. The three guys from Top Gear in Britain who were removed from that job, they got themselves another job. And they're basically doing the same show instead of TG... It's GT.
So while Steve claims that he doesn't like automobile technology, the deal is that it's the ultimate technology.
I'm not a big fan of automobile technology. I am a big fan of these presenters. These guys
and they're joyous.
Are so interested in this stuff, and they are finding so much happiness in it, and they're fighting each other on a verbal basis that I enjoy so much. Such a British thing.
Very, very snarky, but in a playful way. And then also, there's a mean streak going in there, but it's certainly...
Uh-huh.
it certainly just creates the tension of the show.
And it's great.
They know how to needle each other the right way.
This is great. For Thanksgiving, we went to my sister's house. My mm-hmm. brother-in-law has a brand new TV, a 4K TV. We sat down and we streamed the Grand Tour from Amazon Prime in 4K.
Which comes in 4K.
And it was beautiful.
Which basically means that you can get right up to the edge of the screen and it's still... looks in detail.
His jaw was dropped. This was his first 4K program that he watched, and they did it right. The way that they have filmed this is gorgeous.
It's going to be very interesting how much data he ends up pulling for that. But anyway, that's amazing.
Yep.
I look forward to seeing the show, too.
Yep, that one's in our show notes as well. It's on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com. Opening this week, we've got a couple of movies. Not a big week for movie openings.
There's a lot of movies, but there were really only two that I found that we wanted to comment on.
I think the big titles opened for Thanksgiving, and the week after Thanksgiving is a lighter week. You found one called I Am Bolt. This is the history of Usain Bolt.
He's a superstar, superhero of the running world.
He can run.
The modern day Flash. A joyful guy in himself.
He is so interesting. He is such an interesting character. This is a documentary about him, and I look forward to knowing more about Usain Bolt.
Oh, absolutely. And then we have the one with the lady from Star Wars, Episode 1.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Queen Amidala.
Well, it's Natalie Portman, who is a great actress in her own right, if you remember The Black
Swan.
She's
been in other things, too.
you like the Black Swan. Come on now.
Who couldn't like The Black Swan?
She did such
a
great
movie.
Oh, it's so weird, but her acting in that was phenomenal. I look forward to this. She's playing Jackie Onassis, Jackie Kennedy.
This my daughter, interesting, my teenager, mm-hmm. Has interest in seeing this, and I can understand why.
Oh, the character of Jackie is so interesting. That's as close as America's really ever gotten to royalty.
Princess Diana and Jackie Onassis, while they certainly, one's royal and one is just a person, a mm-hmm. special person, they seem to have the same demeanor. There was a wonderful demeanor from her. And when John F. Kennedy was killed, she obviously accepted that role mm-hmm. And played it to a T. It's certainly, I have interest in learning more about her life.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about 1963 being such a pivotal moment for America and for so many people of that generation. This will be a very interesting view into that.
There'll be the scene where they'll talk about sand.
That's not a movie.
Oh, okay.
No one has ever seen a movie where Natalie Portman got wooed by a man who said, "I hate sand."
And then floating like a pear to
her.
I
love you. This one looks good. I will seek this one out. It's got a Skarsgård in it.
They said he was a chosen one.
Skarsgård. Yes. I don't know. Brings us to our book of the week, and you have been going through the classics, and you found one of the oldest classics. This one dating back to about 1700 BCE. This one is Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh. Maybe some people have heard about it.
It seems like a thing that most people should have heard about by now.
An epic poem.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I never read this in school. And by the way, it wasn't that long. It took me a little time to get through it, but it certainly didn't take long time.
Not as epic as an epic might be.
It was originally presented in some kind of poetry.
Sure.
But this was not. This was just a story. So the version I got was Gilgamesh, an English version mm-hmm. from 2010 by Stephen Mitchell.
Okay. It's in our show notes.
He took the original script and wrote the story to it.
Nice.
And that's what I was more interested in the story of this. What I can first tell you is that there are a couple giants there, Gilgamesh being one of them. So we get the story there. I didn't feel like it was the hero's journey. It wasn't certainly Luke Skywalker, bringing the family back together.
Okay.
But I understand... you could see where Greek stories eventually came through this. The Bible definitely was influenced by this.
Mm-hmm.
These stories must have been around for a long, long time. I can only think of maybe going to India or, ancient China to find something older. But this was a nice story. I will start off by telling you that, the story starts off with 7 days. A savage man who's eating all the food, all the animals out in the forest. They sent a woman to him. 7 days they made love, tamed him, tamed the man, And it was all a trap by the woman. How do you like that?
There you go.
So anyway, that was the first thing I thought, that my wife obviously has stories similar about me.
All the meats that you've cooked up on the barbecue.
In 7 days,
my
friend.
We went on
a honeymoon. Yeah.
That's what they call that.
Anyway, that was one of a. There's another part that is equally, not pornographic, but definitely graphic sex scene in it. So there's a reason why we don't teach it in high school.
Right. This is not one of those that is standard for high schools, but it could be without those scenes, I suppose.
I guess it could. There's another part where they're going on this hike, and they travel 600 miles in a day. So once again, we get these like this grandiose way of telling, oh, you're waiting for the big blue the bull showing up with Pecos Bill or something like
that.
There
you go.
Sort of tall tale-ish.
Those myths, yeah, sure.
But you know, you also have the flood story. I mean, the Noah story is definitely in here. I enjoy it. I'm glad I got through it.
Okay.
My thought initially after reading it was, I guess you'd go from here by knowing what the stories were and move to more of a traditional, the poetry that was originally
the original written. Text. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
or as close to it as you can get.
Sort of original translation where they created it. I can see why if you were a person who was interested in literature, you could read it multiple times. This certainly couldn't be a Netflix series and like one big movie or anything like that. I guess they could break it up into a few, you know, short adventures type things. But I'm glad I got through it, but I don't know if I need to revisit it again. So I'll just check this off on another one of the classics that I somehow missed, but I've gotten through.
ChipRecommends.com. There you go.
Chip's a more rounded person because he's read this.
There you go. It's good. It's good to get through the classics. The classics are important. That's why I watch Better Off Dead.
Exactly. Wait. From 1985.
Wait, that's probably not on the same level, is it? Brings us to our appetite or app of the week, and boy, Christmas is in the air, Chip. It's the week after Thanksgiving. You are rolling out the Christmas music already.
All right, so my daughter, from the time Halloween ended, immediately fired up her versions of what she thinks the holiday music should be.
The classics in the mind of the 14-year-old.
Taylor Swift's and Justin Bieber's holiday albums. Heavy rotation
those
there.
Those are so old.
Heavy rotation right now. So usually after the holidays, I start exploring the playlist I put together in the past. Usually put them together through iTunes. I explore some of the music that I have. Amazon Prime, I've got some albums from, because you can always go if you're a Prime member and you can just move them over to listen to them. There's a whole bunch of, I mean, my goodness, there's so much. And of course, we've got our local radio station that's, you know, has the heavy rotation of the top 20 songs.
Over and over and over again.
And Dominic the Donkey shows up once in a while and everybody goes crazy.
Right.
Well, anyway, Pandora is a place that I open up. It's an app that's on my Apple TV. It's on my phone. And I wanted to talk briefly about using Pandora, the free service. Mm-hmm. This is not the one that you pay for. To refine, maybe create a station and refine that station. And how you can try to create something that is like a playlist a human would put together, but you ultimately fail at it. Mm-hmm. And I can say that because the playlists that I've put together for the last, say, 10 years, in my opinion, are far superior to the ones I can put together through Pandora. With Pandora, you pick either a genre or you pick an artist, and through the process they use.
Yeah, the Music Genome Project is a stunning array of 450 different categories that they categorize every song into, and then you, by saying that you like a certain song or a certain artist or a certain album, the computer does the rest and tries to find something that matches a lot of those 450 different categories.
And so what I originally did was I went in and I put together, I have like, I don't know, 20 or 30 stations in there, usually of artists that I like, and except for Christmas music, They usually run pretty well. Mm-hmm. The challenge with Christmas music through the project, it doesn't always know that it's a holiday song versus non-holiday song. So it will tend to throw things in there that are not holiday songs. Hmm. What I would prefer to have is a Christmas jazz mix that is kind of put together, that it's all the holiday type of music. But what I end up getting is they put anything and everything in there.
Taylor Swift.
Not really. Usually other jazz artists. So when I created my station, in fact, you can look for it on through Pandora. It's called Instrumental Christmas Jazz. And what I did for that, I used Vince Guaraldi's Christmas album, because it is piano. It's seems to be what I was interested in, the sort of feeling I wanted from this. The challenge with this CD is it's only really 30 minutes long or so. And of that, What Child Is This and Greensleeves, well, that's the same song. And then Christmas Time Is Here, and then there's a vocal version of Christmas Time It's Here. So we've got a very short recording with basically two of the songs showing up twice mm-hmm. in that. So from that, I added a few more jazz albums, Christmas or holiday versions of these, and I started getting a pretty nice mix. Well, the challenge was it was playing Charlie Brown's Halloween music, and
really?
And it was playing stuff that was not holiday nature. Hmm. So you can, in there, there's a thumbs up and thumb down. You can actually discount it out of there. You say, I'm not interested in this, and you can skip through it. And what we'll try to do is you're trying to refine that mix a little bit. Now, from there, I used Piano Guys, their Christmas album they brought out last year, and I added it in there. And it changed my mix quite a bit, because not only did it play the Piano Guys, which has a very interesting Christmas album if you don't have it, it also sort of added a New Age level to it, which I was not really interested in. And New Age, when I say, is there's kind of a reflective version of that. I'm not talking Kenny G, but Kenny G could definitely be part of there. I'm trying to take that element out of there. Mm-hmm. But this is a good example of how you build a station by adding these artists in there. And usually it's best to do it through your computer as opposed to doing it through your phone or some other tablet or anything. The computer works best for this. Mm-hmm. I have played around and refined it for the last two or three days. I'm not spending hours and hours on it. Just spending enough time to listen to it. I've gotten it better, but it certainly isn't exactly what I'm looking for. I do think it's a pretty nice mix. If you want to find it, you can definitely look for me and see it in there. But I still think my playlists that I put together are far superior. But Pandora is free. My goodness, it plays through your stereo. It plays through your Google Orc,
the Google Home device. Yes,
the old egg that you have.
Yes, my egg that plays music for me.
That's right, the magic egg,
the magic candle.
Well, anyway, Pandora is a pretty nice service, and definitely if you don't own a bunch of music but mm-hmm. want to explore.
Oh, the Music Genome Project is a great way to discover, no doubt.
And I don't find the ads too intrusive. They usually, every five or six songs, they'll play, I don't know, 30 seconds worth of commercials. They're fine.
It's good to ignore. Yeah, I have a problem with commercials in general, so I usually turn the volume down when those commercials are playing and turn the volume back up at the end, because I just don't like commercials.
But I'm usually listening to this in the background mm-hmm. stuff. And you know, think about it. If you have a holiday party at your home or something, mm-hmm. you want sort of something light and poppy, you certainly are not interested in having the super reflective moment where you sit down. You're not, you know, if you want something that is relaxing versus something that is there to pump you up,
right.
You know, at the mini malls, they have the place where you can go buy your Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. At Woodfield, they've got the one, and they're playing like Jazzercise. You know, when you walk in there, it's like 100 beats a minute, and you're ready to do some aerobics as you're walking around there listening to their Christmas mix.
Very interesting.
Most of us are not interested in that type of music. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're interested in choral or more of a, when I say classical, what I mean is sort of using an orchestra type of, or if you listen to, a light country sound, an alt country versus modern pop like my daughter wants to listen to, mm-hmm. where you can't get enough Justin Bieber and you can't get enough Taylor Swift. These are, you can play around and put together fun little mixes.
Yeah, Pandora is a fun way to get your music on. I've got my Meatloaf station.
Meatloaf didn't have a Christmas album, surprisingly. Thankfully. Enough. Surprisingly. It would be a story that would have some rock and roll to it.
Yeah, I stick to Meatloaf in October. That's one of my October Meatloaf sounds.
The most interesting part about Christmas music, or holiday music in general, is about every artist eventually comes out with their version of the classics.
Right.
And it just gets odder and odder and odder.
It's great stuff. I just stick to the Muppets. The Muppets Christmas album is fantastic.
Little John Denver with them.
Love it. Brings us to our Now the News. There's some news out there. Most of it is about shopping and
shopping.
And we found some things.
Trainspotting. What are you talking about? Shopping.
Shopping. Get me a football. One of the challenges of the holiday season is discovering new podcasts, finding a way to listen to too much scrolling and all of those other things that might be good if you like a show like Too Much Scrolling.
Well, you know, having sort of organically running across the sea of podcasts.
A Pandora.
And having someone actually run across our podcast.
Yes.
So anyway, somebody has attempted to make that a little easier.
Yeah, this is called Radio Public, and it tries to discover something that you like based on what you have listened to before and have liked before.
Very Pandora-ish.
Yes.
So this is another attempt at that, and it seems interesting. If you're looking to discover other podcasts that may be similar to us, mm-hmm. maybe not as good, of course.
That's
but,
right.
But, or, you know, different way of listening to them. You know, you can find Too Much Scrolling there.
That's right.
You can find probably thousands of others, hundreds of thousands of others. Of all the different levels. And the real challenging with podcasts, because it's such an open format, is you can have, you know, some child at some home mm-hmm. babbling on.
Sure.
You could have like some 3-hour marathon worth of information of someone babbling. Mm-hmm. And then you could have the most refined conversation.
There's so many great shows out there.
So, you know, I think that ours is general conversation, mm-hmm. you know, with the topics that we cover.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, there's plenty of more specific stuff out there too.
Very specific podcasts are out there. So if you're looking for some new podcasts, try out Radio Public. They're at radiopublic.com. Look up Too Much Scroll and start there. That's what you should do. Okay. The other thing you should do is make sure that your digital footprint is covered. And boy, there's some things out there. And there's a Swedish software app called Deceit. DESEAT. Deceit Me. Where you can discover where you've been and maybe shut off some of those switches.
All right. So the idea of Deceit Me, it's deceit.me. Mm-hmm. Is that you have been on the internet for many, many, many moons. And in the past, you used to have to log in to get to a newspaper, to everything. Mm-hmm. But you may have a whole presence out there that you forgot about. You logged in to some obscure newspaper in the past. You logged in to some website in the past. You've forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you be able to go back and find where you are and then basically disconnect yourself from
right.
it. And I would say that this is probably a very interesting tool. A gentleman from Sweden put it together. It seems interesting mm-hmm. and seems like something that many of us should go through and do. It also, you know, there's apps out there that will unsubscribe you from email lists. If you're like me, you still get incredible amount of email each day. Mm-hmm. And even if you try to put it into its place, it can be overwhelming. So
no doubt.
So deceit.me mm-hmm. is the latest attempt to control the presence that you have on the web and also to allow you to kind of like, you know, mop up from some of the stuff in the past.
Yeah. Your credit history also follows you, but what about people who don't have a credit history? There are some lenders who are looking at phone data instead of credit history to decide whether or not someone is worthy.
Now, this is very important. We're not talking the United States here. We're talking okay. Latin America.
Okay.
And what they're doing is using, there's 2 billion people that they're saying that could have opportunities available to them to either borrow money or to use their phone's history as an ability to, I guess, have a credit history. And use that as a criteria to be able to qualify for a loan or something. Mm-hmm. That ability to be able to finance something could be the ability to create the next Apple computer, mm-hmm. To create the next company that's going to create something that you value. Not everybody has a bank account.
Right.
There, in fact, even in the United States, you know, we have the corner, you know, lender, mm-hmm. Who is the payday lender that, you know, on some level is a pariah in society, on some level is a benevolent person, mm-hmm. to society. There are people who choose not to work through the banking system. Well, this is the latest attempt to try to attract them and to be able to create something that they can use as criteria to
prove
rank someone.
Their worthiness.
And what they're talking about is that if you have a business or you have some kind of entrepreneurial spirit, your ability to talk to people is going to be reflected in the number of phone calls you end up taking.
Got it. That makes sense. If you are a people person, then you might be a good entrepreneur.
Your level of usage becomes predictive of your ability to pay, I guess.
Very interesting. Interesting stuff. Until the robots take over.
And that's pretty interesting because we just have, you know, snow season's coming, Steve. This has been like the warmest.
Winter is coming. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
This has been a very mild. We went from summer, uh-huh. like conditions, to immediately it hit like winter. We had no fall here.
Yeah, it's the fall. It's the Midwest. It's going to be unpredictable.
It's been fairly mild.
Yes,
this
it
year.
Has. It
but
has.
When the snow happens like it did a few years ago,
oh boy.
And hell just broke open.
Yeah,
and we got like dump after dump of snow, and it just never melted.
So what we need is a robot to take care of that.
Well, I got tired of snow blowing.
Yeah,
and so if you had $4,000. Uh-huh. You have $4,000, there is a robot by Kobe,
yeah.
that will not only snowblow for you, it will mow the grass for you in the summer, and it will pick up leaves in the fall.
That's three seasons. It's a three-season robot.
And you're thinking it's like this little robot that would go around and vacuum your house?
The iRobot style? No.
No. This is like a...
This is a machine.
This is truly a machine, mm-hmm. looking. It looks heavy.
Yeah.
It does it itself. It will plug itself in to charge itself and then head off, uh-huh. to take care of the snow blowing, which I hate doing, the mowing, which, mm-hmm. I don't mind doing.
I don't like mowing.
Well,
I don't like snow blowing either. So
I like being outside.
I don't like being outside. So but getting a robot. I mean, there's so many things that we can automate our lives right now. So many things that we've already automated. Think about the dishwasher and the,
sure.
automatic transmission in the car. There's so many things that we can automate. This is something that's coming.
Well, what's interesting is it uses the satellites, mm-hmm. to understand the terrain that you have around your home. It also will, if you've got a tree or something like that, it basically maps it out so it can navigate around that tree. Mm-hmm. It will map out the place, I guess, it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
This seems very, very futuristic right
here.
Yeah. For me, if I was building a home right now, you could almost design your home and your driveway and stuff like that to best take advantage of stuff like this.
It's going to change everything. The self-driving cars are on their way, and we've had the self-driving tractors. About 200,000 self-driving tractors are out there doing farming right now.
In the U.S. and Europe,
yeah.
and they've been working on those for 15 years.
It's so amazing.
So the snowblower and these tractors are working on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is fascinating.
It is.
The future is here.
Add 10 years to that, and you've got some opportunities. Kids, you should be out there learning about robotics.
Well, if you know, the holiday season's coming up, and many people get gifts,
mm-hmm.
and Lego seems to have a basically something designed to teach you robotics.
Yeah, this is the Lego Mindstorm. This has been around for a while. We've been talking about it at our school as a program that we should be teaching the children, mm-hmm. about robotics, but kids, get out there and learn some programming.
Well, here in our area, we have a lot of teams that are put together. I've got a friend of mine whose two sons are, I'm sorry, son and daughter are on this team. And they have, that's where they started out their beginning robotics lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Because this kit comes with the robot And if you choose to kind of play around with it, you do the programming language on your computer, you upload it to your robot. But the team situation works where you're given a list of tasks. And you've got to design your robot to accomplish those tasks. So if you go to one of these situations where you're competing against other teams, you'll see one team decided to do it one way and one team decided to do it a different way. And
eventually get to go to BattleBots and have them fight.
Well, eventually, I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
But this is exactly where you get the beginning, the baby steps to self-driving tractors, to having a snowblower.
To whatever innovation the kids are going to think up in the next 40 years, because they are going to change the world. And the automated parts of our world are going to get unbelievable in the next 40 years.
Well, one day, you know, we'll take a rocket, we'll fill it up with these toys, we'll shoot it up to the moon,
and you race.
And your son and some kid, you know, in India and some kid in China and some kid in Europe are going to race around the moon on their things, but they're going to be in their home.
Oh, that's awesome. That is a great idea. It's a little VR work. You get a little VR helmet. You're driving on the moon.
You got terrain that you've got to, that you're not familiar with.
I want to invest in your newsletter. This is phenomenal.
But isn't this amazing? Anyway, this is $350, by the way, for that, which
it's
is
an investment.
It's expensive, but it also is truly unique. And many clubs, if in your area, if you go and you, they have these kits available.
Yes.
And I bet some libraries have them too.
Yes. The library system is looking to be a part of our society, and the makerspace and the robotics kits are in your local library in a lot of situations around the country right now.
So we've got practical situations. We got the beginning part to learn those skills. How beautiful a world we live in right now.
Come with me if you want to live. Yeah, the robots are going to take over. So kids, learn to control the robots. That's,
and you'll always have a job.
That's what you need to do. Yeah, otherwise the robots are going to take your jobs. You need a new job, and it's fixing the robots.
I'll be, I guess, fixing C-3PO.
Oh, Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
You always have to have a Wookiee to help put them things back together.
That's right. That is heads on backwards. Now I got to watch that movie. It's not even Christmas. All right. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Google Play Music, and every day of the week you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Get everything you need. The robots are coming. I'm going to go watch Hamilton. See ya.
Have a lot of fun.
Thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasenflow.
We'll see you in the future.